Hello everyone, it's George from Ireland. Well, thank you for coming back to my channel. And this is commenting on what Zara Sultana said. Now, she's a Member of Parliament for the as-yet-unnamed political party. Its placeholder is your party. So talk about being unable to run a piss up in a brewery. The party has been around for several months and they still haven't come up with a name. You know, they've asked people to write in. It could be Democratic Left, Social Justice Party, I don't know, left Democrats, what else, you know, whatever you want to call it, the People's Party, blah, blah, blah. And so so Jeremy Corbyn, the erstwhile leader of the Labour Party, who led them to a heavy defeat in 2019, he's involved in this party, as well as a political newbie, Zara Sultana. So Corbyn's about 75 and she's about 30. So she was elected MP for Coventry South only last year, and she split from the Labour Party after only a few months to set this party up. Now, then she's had the chutzpah to say this is going to be the government party. Now, it's just risible. Having said that, she's at least realistic about timescales, saying this is a 40-year project. Now, I remember a few of these extreme left parties. There was a Socialist Labour Party set up by Arthur Scargill. Remember, he was the leader of the National Union of Miners in the 1984 strike. So he led them to catastrophe, and now there are no coal mines operational in the United Kingdom. Admittedly, it's not just because of him, it's because we moved to clean energy. So what was it about the far left and their love of pollution? Anyway, the mainstream left at least wants a cleaner air. And the right's often bad on climate change. But then there was, so they stood against Labour in 1997, and they got, was it 0.1% of the vote? There was a Socialist Alliance, which stood in 2001, they got about 0.2% of the vote. Then after the liberation of Iraq, there was George Galloway and his pro-Saddam Hussein merry mob and the so-called Respect Party. And that went for about 10 years. That imploded. He was the only person ever elected for that party. Won some by-elections, Bradford North and so on. In the general election 2005, he won Bethnal Green and Bow, defeating sitting Labour MP Una King. What were the other far-left parties? And then his Workers' Party of Britain and so forth. So I've lived through a few of these, and they're lucky if they get a single MP. Now, your party is different and has at least two members of parliament. Some of the others who have the Labour whip withdrawn are on the edges of it. And now the blindingly obvious thing to do was to merge with the Greens, failing to have an alliance with the Greens, have some sort of pact. You fight these seats, we'll fight those seats, something like that. But they wouldn't do it because they agree on the same agenda, plus they're environmentalists. But no, they're not going to do it. So Comrade Corbyn is going to lead them to a catastrophe. And then Tony Blair and others said that Labour will never win under Corbyn. Admittedly, 2017, they did much better than many people anticipated. They lost only 2 percentage points, which they thought, well, one more push, 2019 will do it. But they fell back majorly, partly because of Brexit. So Corbyn, he's yesterday's man. I mean, it's mostly a youth quake, but he's elderly. I mean, I suppose youngsters can vote for a party led by somebody who's older. And they're always completely on for the liberation of Palestine. Now, Jeremy Corbyn, I have to give him his due. For about 50 years, long before it was fashionable, he said, no, we must have justice for Palestine, end the illegal occupation, no to oppression, stop racism. So they think they're going to improve people's lives. So led by ordinary members, they want nationalization of just about everything. They want to build a lot of council homes and they want to provide secure jobs so then people won't employ you at all. I mean, Labour's workers' rights bill has led to a rise in unemployment straight away and so on. So there we go. So they've got about 800,000 in donations. They said that 20,000 people have signed up, but the Labour Party's got hundreds of thousands of people. Despite Labour's problems, Labour has an infrastructure. It's got some talented people, some experienced media savvy people and all the rest of it. They're demonizing Nigel Farage. She's the most popular leader amongst working class voters. Okay. Saying that Labour is against work. So the Reform Party is against working class communities. Well, I don't see any evidence of that, against minority communities. Now, I know some Reform MPs have said some unpalatable things like Sarah Poachin recently. There's a descent into fascism. Well, this really is preposterous. I mean, he's not trying to set up a totalitarian state. He doesn't want to cudgel the personality. He's not trying to outlaw other political parties. He's not trying to stop elections. He's not trying to take away freedom of expression. He's the one who's actually in favor of freedom of expression. He's not trying to end fair trials. This is really ridiculous. And you shouldn't bandy that word around too lightly. You become the boy who cried wolf. People won't believe you if a real fascist comes along. So it is revolting and utterly mendacious that they should resort to such hyperbole. I want to take people out of European Convention of Human Rights. Well, that's true, because the ECHR is so often used for evil and against good. There we go. How do they explain the way that Reform UK is far more popular than their party is, particularly with the working class? But anyway, she refuses to cooperate with the Green Party, which is why they're going nowhere fast. Now, it's true that the Labour is in grave trouble. They're hemorrhaging votes, but they're going to Plaid Cymru, the Scottish National Party, the Green Party, the Liberal Democrats. They're not going to your party. But it's a fascinating moment because for most of the last century, elections at Westminster level have been a two-horse race. It's either been Labour or it's been the Conservative. Now, there were some exceptions, for instance, like 1983, the Social Democratic Party Liberal Alliance, the SDP Liberal Alliance, when it really looked like it could go their way. You know, a year beforehand, they were ahead in the polls by quite some way. Partly this is the Falklands factor, but they came slightly behind Labour, 25% of the vote was it, and 23 seats, whereas Labour got 27% of the vote and 209 seats. So with 25% of the vote, the Alliance got something like 4% of the seats, whereas Labour with, 27% of the vote, got 32% of the seats. So very inequitable. And then they fell a bit further back again in 1987, less of a three-horse race, but then it certainly wasn't. And then obviously 2010, the Liberal Democrats were not far behind Labour, 23% of the vote to Labour's 28%. But again, the Liberal Democrats, they only got about 55 seats. So they got, you know, about 9% of the vote or something. Whereas Labour on 28% of the vote, they got something like 34% of the seats and so on. So, but this next time, it looks like anything can happen. Reform UK way out ahead. I mean, I think they'll drop back a bit. Midterm, people tend to turn towards the minor parties. They're disaffected from Labour. They're utterly disappointed with the Conservative Unionist Party. It's going to take a long time for the Conservatives to recover. The Liberal Democrats are not really making that much noise. Sir Red Davey, you know, not even doing silly things to attract attention these days, somehow doing all right in the polls. But as they're the only major party, I mean, parties had a significant presence in Parliament for a long time to be there. You think people go for them because, you know, Reform UK didn't even exist 5 years ago. OK, most of them come from the Brexit Party. The Green Party was an extra parliamentary party for decades, had one MP for a few years, and that was it. And so forth. So you think the Liberal Democrats were the only serious Westminster party. And as there's disillusionment with the duopoly, Labour and Conservative, then that would accrue to the advantage of the Lib Dems. But, you know, that hasn't really transpired. But the parties are at neck and neck. So I think the next election, as I say, Reform UK will fall back. Conservatives always outperform the polls. Labour often underperform. I don't think Labour will do as badly as it looks this time, partly because of a new leader by then. Some of their policies might have come to fruition. And plus, Labour's message, which they're going to ram home relentlessly, is that the only ones can keep Farage from getting the keys to number 10 Downing Street. But the left is so vociferous. When two leftists walk into a room, the first item of the agenda is the basis of the next split. So they're always against these other throats. You know, they're ideologically point scoring off each other, particularly Trotskyites like in your party, and they're already scrapping. It's just hilarious. So there's this incompetence, the dysfunctionality of it is just comical. And that's why I don't see them being the government ever. I could be wrong. I mean, Labour will start doing better. They can hardly do worse, and so on. And plus, they won't have the money. They won't have that much media coverage. Corbyn will go. I mean, how many more years can he serve, honestly, before Health or the Grim Reaper call him from his duties? Then Zara Sultana, she may well lose her seat next time. What do you think? Anyway, thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. Don't know PayPal, George Callahan at 79@gmail.com. Goodbye.